welcome you back to another episode of Inside Boxing Live. We are presented by PPV.com, the premier home for your pay-per-view events. Go out and order Fury versus Usyk, which is this upcoming Saturday. We're taking over the PPV.com live chat, me and Chris answering your questions, giving you your up-to-date analysis, so that's going to be a fun time. We'll have more on that later. On this episode today, we are breaking down Vasily Lomachenko stopping George Kambosos late to become IBF lightweight champion and set up some really fun unification bouts, potentially set up a really fun mandatory fight. Mostly, the big thing is Vasily Lomachenko is back in a big way, doing it for us olds out there. That plus 35 age is out there showing the Matrix style in there. Chris, how are you?
I'm good. And the fact that Lomachenko's back is good for the sport. It's good for me. It's good for my Sunday. You know, I got asked about this fight. Like, well, what are you most looking forward to in this matchup? And I go, Lomachenko being back. I don't really care. So I didn't care for the matchup at all. I don't think anyone in the boxing world really did. I don't think anyone saw this as actually a competitive fight. We're just happy that Lomachenko's back because he is one of the special ones in our generation.
Yeah, it was just a bad night for the Lomachenko haters. There's a lot of them out there.
Who are these people? Why are they?
I like to think I have my ear to the pulse. Does that even make sense? My finger on the pulse.
Yeah, finger to the pulse. Yeah. Ear to the what is it? Ear to the ground.
I think it's ear to the ground. Fingers to the pulse of what boxing fans are talking about, the haters that are out there, because there's quite a few haters in the boxing world. They just feel like, I mean, this guy was overhyped from the start. He had that HBO machine behind him, loses to Salido. You know, he's gifted a lot of title shots. He's gifted this title shot to Kambosos, lost every big fight he was in. I'm tired of watching his workout videos. I was never one of those people. I was never subscribed to that. You know me and you know us. I don't operate as a fan, as I am a fan of the sport, but I operate on what's good for the sport. And right. Lomachenko is good for the sport because he cut through to the mainstream sports fans. Those videos of him punching stuff and underwater and all those training things when he was in his heyday, those were getting shared everywhere, and those were all over the internet. My friends that don't watch boxing were asking me about Lomachenko. Need that in boxing. But last night was a night where it was like, damn, Vasily Lomachenko still has a lot left in the tank at 36. Vasily Lomachenko is probably the second best lightweight in the sport right now behind Gervonta Davis. We'll get to that in a second, too. Yes, George Kambosos is not really that skilled of a fighter.
Second, Shakur. I don't know.
That's arguable.
We
got to get to that later. Don't get to it yet, because we're gonna go through every.
I'm picturing the future comments already.
Yeah, I love that. I embrace debate. There's Shakur. There's Tank. There's William Zepeda, who is now the mandatory at the IBF.
Don't sleep on Zepeda, man. I'm telling you, don't sleep on that guy. He is impressing me each and every time out, and he's an ever improving fighter, and his physicality is not to be messed with.
Right, and he's the IBF mandatory now. So there is some juicy fights that we'll get to in a second. But this was a night for Lomachenko to show that he still got it at age 36. The footwork is impeccable. It's his calling card. The footwork gets him in range to land everything. The lack of footwork from George Kambosos, the lack of anything from George Kambosos. I think he had one decent moment early on. There was a nice little exchange in round two or three. And then in the sixth round, he had a little bit of success. But for the most part, if you listen to Tim Bradley on the call, he's talking about the footwork. Look at the footwork of Lomachenko, which is absolutely stunning, and what she would teach everyone from here on out as a boxing student of the game. Then look at the lack of footwork from Kambosos. Never in range to punch. Never landed more than 8 punches in any round of the fight last night. Just a masterclass from Lomachenko. And he gets a stoppage.
We're going to disagree a lot on this show, for the record, Dan.
Well, what are we disagreeing with now?
I got some analysis of the fight and where Lomachenko's
go
at
ahead.
In his career. Yeah, I mean, we're doing it right now.
Yes.
Listen, Lomachenko is degraded. There's no chance. There's no.
I agree with that.
Buts. He is very degraded. He is not the same guy he used to be. He had George Kambosos in front of him. George made him look like this is a resurgence of the Vasily Lomachenko of old. It's not true. He is degraded. He does not throw enough punches. He's not busy enough. He's not physically active like he used to be. So Lomachenko uses his physical presence to put pressure on you, which he did at times with Lomachenko, but he doesn't fight a whole round anymore when he used to be constant pressure. Lomachenko of old would have gotten George out of there in round four. Because the fight was over in round four. Like that, like all, Tim said it great. Tim Bradley, ESPN analyst, Hall of Famer, said it fantastically. He goes,
professional
all
hater.
All the data has been uploaded and Vasily's taken over. And it was in round four.
Yeah.
Vasily of old knocked George out in the fourth round.
Okay. Still got a stoppage.
He did. And it
made
me
$340.
Masterclass. He made Vegas money. He made people money. We lost Vegas money, but made people
made me money.
Yeah, made you money. It was a smart bet. But yeah, I don't know how he deals with these younger guys who are the gaps that I saw in Lomachenko are going to be seen by those top dogs as well.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there. Yeah. You know, he'll get there. He'll get in the ring with some of these names. I mean, that's the only thing that's left for Lomachenko.
Listen, he's a warrior, and he's hungry. He's a guy. He's an old school guy. He cares about belts. He cares about being undisputed. I love that because there's so many of these younger guys who are acting like belts don't matter. And it's like, no, they do matter. It matters. Yeah, money's cool. Belts matter, man. This is legacy. Lomachenko is one of those throwbacks. And listen, he's got a path. There's a route for him to become undisputed at 135. But God damn, he has to go through hell to get there. And I guess what? I bet you he's willing to try.
No, he's going to try because that's all that's left for him. He's not going to, unless the mandatory that he has is William Cepeda, and that's a fun fight. They're all fun fights left for Lomachenko. He's 36. He's got three or four fights left. You know, he's up there like Canelo range. He's got three or four fights left. He's got the IBF title. It's the one title he had never won. He dedicated it to his dad who, you know, about Loma's dad taught him everything, the ballet dancing as a kid. Then transitioned into being a boxer, not the traditional route, but that's what they do over there in Eastern Europe. But he wins the IBF belt, and the mandatory is Zepeda. Now, the other title holders at 135 are mostly with Top Rank, and then there's Tank Davis, who's on an island by himself. Shakur Stevenson afterwards is tweeting his face off. He's tweeting, I want Lomachenko, tweeting nasty things about Top Rank, tweeting nasty things about Bob Arum, about how Bob Arum doesn't even run the show anymore. They're doing all the stuff behind his back. You know, I'm leaving, blah, blah, blah. That's the fight I think is the marquee fight to be made in-house at Top Rank. If Shakur stays on for another fight, stays on for two more fights, I think Shakur versus Lomachenko is something that we've wanted for a few years now. Then there's Emmanuel Navarrete. Emmanuel Navarrete is fighting in a week. He's fighting next weekend against Denis Berenchik, and Navarrete is expected to win. It's his first fight at 135. He's not really a lightweight. That's a fight I can see Top Rank pivoting to next. Like, they want Shakur, then they pivot to Navarrete, who was a you know, I wouldn't say brand name, but he's a household name to boxing fans. And then there's Tank Davis, who is the fight that everyone wants to see. It's a fight that we've been looking for since 2017. Tank is tweeting, I have to fight Frank first, but then I want Lomachenko. Suddenly, Gervonta Davis versus Lomachenko has legs again. Is it too late? Yes. Will I watch it? Yes.
Yes. Emphatically, yes. Listen, I'm watching Tank with everybody. I don't care. I like when Tank fights. I like the way he fights. I'm a big fan of Tank. I'm a big fan of Lomachenko. But I can say that with both guys, actually. I'm always tuning in for a Lomachenko fight. I'm always tuning in for a Tank Davis fight. You put them together, I mean, I think that's a massive fight, and a fight that people have been talking about for a long time. I feel like I heard an interview where Lomachenko said that he wants that fight as well. So, yeah, it's been a long time coming, but I don't think it's overcooked even at this point. Because Lomachenko did look good the other night. He is a special talent in our generation, in these weight classes. But also, like, Tank's not that big of a guy either. So I worry about Lomachenko because of the size. He looked undersized against Kambosos. Kambosos is not a big 35-pounder. Mm-hmm. And he's just not a 35-pounder. He's a 30-pounder. I mean, they were saying on air he could make featherweight. I don't really think.
Well, what was that about? I thought it was a very clean broadcast from our guy Joe and Tim. But the featherweight stuff's got to stop. Like,
he's not a featherweight. He's 35 years old, guys. He's not going backwards in weight classes anymore. I mean, he could probably make 130. I think he absolutely could make 130. He'd be a big 30.
There's nothing at 130.
There's nothing at 130. But also, he hits hard enough for 35. He just stopped George Kambosos, who Devin Haney, who is a giant at 135, couldn't do. So, and he stopped them emphatically. There was no question. George shook his head and then we were done. He's like, I got stopped. It happens.
He got hit like in the 11th. He got hit with a shot that they called the slip. That was just a
straight left hand clear,
rocked, and that's what started the end for him. And then he got hit.
This is the brilliance of Lomachenko and the experience level. He rocks George with a straight left hand in the middle that it catches him. Literally, he ducks his head and catches him on the chin. Those shots hurt. Boom. He goes down, called a slip. He gets up. George is like, okay, here he comes. He's coming back from my head because I'm hurt to the chin. Right through the line. Bang. Oh. Takes that knee, goes down, gets up, goes right back to it. Because now you're like, all right, I'm hurt to the head and I'm hurt to the body. What do I protect? And you protect this head again. Boom. Down to the body. Fight's over.
Yeah, that was the first knockout loss. Yeah, great stoppage. And, you know, I'm not going to say I'm back. I'm not going to say I'm back as a betting pundit. I'm not going to say that your boy is back. But that's what the internet is saying right now. I put out my pick.
That you're back?
Lomachenko. I'm back, bro.
I mean, you had about an 18-month run where you were losing people money.
No. So. And then I had a hot streak. I mean, that's the ups and downs. There were people last night saying, Dan, you made me money. I'm going to send you money.
Wow.
And that's the best thing you could possibly hear from fans. Like, you don't have to send me any money. Just follow along. I took Lomachenko by stoppage. He hasn't had a stoppage since the Nakatani fight. A couple people were laughing at me. It got a lot of retweets. A couple people quote-tweeting it, crying emoji face, laughing.
About you predicting a stoppage?
Yep. A couple people were like, wow, that's good odds, because it was plus 275, I want to say. And I'm watching the fight. Obviously, we're watching the fight, and we're seeing Lomachenko aggressive from the start, which is something he has to do now. He can't afford to start slow anymore.
But also,
age.
George just looks so rudimentary immediately.
He was also just standing in range.
And he was completely confused and befuddled by round two. By the end of round one, he was confused. By the end of round two, I was like, oh, wow, this guy has literally no idea what to do.
No shot. But long story short, Lomachenko stepped on the gas pedal. I'm like, okay, gets to like round nine. I'm like, all right, he's probably not going to get the stoppage. He's not going to go for it. But he went for it. It came out of nowhere.
It really did. It was that good straight left hand to the head, like we said, but it did come out of nowhere. Because I remember, I watched it this morning. I fell asleep last night. These late fights are tough for me. So I watched it this morning before going to the gym. And I'm like, I know this ends in round 11. I'm like, there's 30 seconds left in a round. When is this going to happen? It wasn't like he was building towards it and just bang, boom. And then just, I mean, brilliant, brilliant stoppage by Lomachenko.
But I didn't feel like it was coming either. But I think hearing from some of the top ranked people, like, he wanted to make a statement. And it goes back to kind of what you just said, like, where he is degraded for sure. Like, he would have got, old Lomachenko would have either made Kambosos quit in the eighth round or stopped him even earlier. But for him to score a knockout or TKO stoppage, first one since the Nakatani fight several years ago, that's a big statement. That's more than just him getting his hand raised with a decision. That's a statement win for a 36-year-old to put everyone else on notice, put these young bucks on notice, Shakur, Navarrete, Tank, William Cepeda. Like, listen, I might not have that power, but I got that precision. He was landing over 50% of his power shots. His jab was really good. His defense has always been elite. So I'm gonna break you down systematically.
Well,
I'm going
to
do some things. Old wily vet like Canelo.
George went 12 with Haney twice. In the second fight, Haney was really putting it on him. And Haney's, I keep iterating, he's huge for 35. He looked really good in that second fight, and he was getting him behind that right hand. He was hitting George a lot. He had an opportunity to stop George in that fight, but George is dogged, and he's tough. He went 12 with Teofimo Lopez, got dropped late, still got up and fought his ass off. Listen, the kid's a dog. I keep knocking him in terms of his skill set, but he's got a lot of heart. And
yeah, full stop. That guy's a throwback.
Ton of heart. So the fact that he couldn't go 12 at Lomachenko says a lot. When he went 12 with Haney and Teofimo Lopez.
Well, what do you think it is? You're a fighter. Is it a deterioration of skill? Is it a deterioration of will? Is it, I have 15, 20 million in the bank, I'm going to just take a knee? What do you think it was with Kambosos?
No, listen, all those things about Kambosos have always been the issue. His skills haven't eroded. They've always been that level. His boxing IQ was never that high.
Was it a business decision? I'm trying to say. Was that like he could have got up and fought the 12th round and got that moral victory?
No, he would have got stopped. Lomachenko caught a moment. He hurt him and he followed up like a real pro does. He's still a finisher. That's, to me, it shows me that I'm not taking anything away from George. I don't think George degraded. I think Lomachenko's ability to get a stoppage and his ability to see when a guy when he's hurt and to build off what he's already done and to set traps and make it happen and pull the trigger is still there. So it speaks highly to Lomachenko, to what he has left, and the fact that, listen, even though he's undersized for 35, he can still punch and hurt guys and stop you, even guys that are tough to do it.
Yeah, the placement is what really sticks out to me, and the precision is what really sticks out to me. Just to put a bow on Kambosos now, you talked about this in the lead-up. You know, whoever loses this fight leaves the elite. I think we can all agree that George Kambosos' time fighting some of these big names is over. You could have made a case that it should have ended a while ago, but he's had one of the more interesting careers in terms of beating Teofimo Lopez on a night that looks... Every fight we get away from that fight of Teofimo versus Kambosos, you just shake your head and say, man, what a perfect storm for George. What a perfect storm.
That fight feels 10 years ago at this point.
And what a perfect storm for Teofimo in a nasty storm, a nightmare for him, all the things that went into that. But that was parlayed into these fights with Haney, into these fights with Lomachenko. But we can agree that George Kambosos' time at the top with these names is now done. Like, he can still fight if he wants domestic level, or put him in there with Raymond Muratalia. I saw someone out there, if he really wants to go that route, he's been paid handsomely. But, I mean, that was just a guy in there that just did not have – was not on the same plane as Lomachenko. And just go back to that Teofimo fight, and just it's hard to judge Teofimo now, because Teofimo beats Lomachenko in 2020, right? And it's like an impressive win. It's more impressive than Haney's win over Lomachenko. And Lomachenko,
I think,
at that point,
Teofimo is the only guy to legitimately beat Teofimo.
Landed 50 punches.
Yeah. Right. I was in the room that
punches.
Night. He was brilliant.
In round, yeah, he was. It was. That's what I'm trying to say. It's like Teofimo's win against Lomachenko was so brilliant because it came 4 years ago when Lomachenko was 32, a little more closer to his prime, and it was so demonstrative in how he did it, landing 50 punches in that 12th and final round to seal the deal.
That's crazy.
Then you follow it up with the loss to Kambosos. And we know where they went into that, right? You know,
Kambosos' career is literally based on one performance, one fight.
That's the beauty of this sport, bro. Your career was not like that, but to the layman or to someone that was just like, kind of, oh, I know, yeah, Chris Andrade beat Provodnikov, and he freaking, well, look what he did with that. They don't know about the blood, sweat, and tears that went into it before. But that's
But also, I had great fights with Amir Khan, and I had
that's what I mean.
Career,
that's what I mean. My point is, like, the one night. Not that for you, it wasn't just one night. Maybe a bad analogy. I just wanted to hype you up a little bit there, bud. The one night for Kambosos, that's the beauty of the sport. It's a series of singular performances. One night where Teofimo decides to stand and trade like an idiot and get knocked down in the first round, sick, bad camp, all that and the other. You have a hungry guy who's seizing his little moment right there, parlays it. That's why this is – it's not really a sport. It's a business because 20 million later – this guy is now on top. He's a winner. Yeah, he lost, but George Kambosos is a freaking winner.
Yeah. He's a grinder. He's a hard worker. It's blood, sweat, and tears for sure. But I think the rabbit's foot, the human rabbit's foot is run out of luck at this point, because he was completely outclassed last night with Lomachenko, a 35-year-old Lomachenko. He had no answers for anything. I used the word befuddled. That's the best term for what was going on there. But he kept trying. He was out there. He was trying to win the fight. He just didn't have any answers. But I think you're right, Dan. I don't think we're going to see him at the elite level again unless he's in there to be fed to one of these other guys.
Yeah, and they'll overpay for that, and he'll take time off, and he'll do all that. And I think this fight
But it comes down to him. It's whatever he wants to do. He's his own man.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have to fight anymore. Yeah. If he has that desire to get back in there, sure. If he wants to take on tough fights, or if he just wants a homecoming send off, I wouldn't scoff at that either. It is what it is.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. I mean, this fight was staged in Australia, not so much for Kambosos, because I think even his most prudent fans were like, hey, we saw those 24 rounds with Haney. This was a chance for the fans of Australia to see a guy in Lomachenko who is still revered outside of the U.S. He might have some haters inside of the U.S., but he's still looked at as some type of a global name and a global fixture. So that was all about. Let's go through some of the options now for Shakur. Let's go through some of the options now for Lomachenko. We can start with what's coming up next weekend with the Navarrete fight. Emmanuel Navarrete, a featherweight who went up to 130, who's gone up to 135 now for the first time, and he's getting a title shot for the WBO. We know how he fights, unconventional, throwing punches from weird angles, throwing these Bugs Bunny uppercuts. When it's on, it's impossible to beat, but when he's off, I think of the Liam Wilson fight, I think of him being out of position, and I think of a guy like Lomachenko who's constantly in position. How do you see that fight playing? Can Lomachenko, that we saw against Kambosos, beat Navarrete, who to me is a wild card?
Yes, and I think he does. I think I like the fight with Navarrete. That's probably, I mean, obviously my favorite fight is the Davis fight, but if I'm thinking logically, that fight makes the most sense, right? We've got Top Rank.
They make it in December.
Yeah, likely Navarrete wins this fight coming up. He becomes a world champion at 135 in his third weight class, three division world champion, which puts him into the history books right there. Boom, makes sense. Cash him out, fight Lomachenko. And the fact that Navarrete's come up from so many smaller weight classes, just like Lomachenko has, but Lomachenko's been here longer, Lomachenko's actually going to be in the ring with someone his size. And that, to me,
not
is all
hype,
the difference.
But I know what you're saying.
You know? So he's actually going to be fighting someone his size. And yes, Navarrete's super aggressive and throws weird punches and is a total wild card and has good power even in these higher weight classes, although we haven't seen him at 35 yet. And he's got a very good judge of range. He's got long arms. He's a difficult style, difficult body, tons of pressure. But Lomachenko is the Matrix, man. His ability is his rhythm and his timing and his ability to make you miss and his defense and his physical pressure and the fact that he doesn't let up on you, you know, even though he does a little bit now. But I think his ability and his precision, his ability to make you miss and his precision on his offense and his counters and the fact that, listen, Navarrete's got these big long arms and he keeps them out there. There's going to be openings for those body shots all night long. And Lomachenko popping that left hand, sliding out, cutting angles, bing, bing, bing. He's just got better footwork than these guys. And I think with someone who is his actual size, which I think Navarrete and him are going to be similar in size, Lomachenko might actually be bigger or at least more comfortable at the weight class. I think he's going to be much more physical. He's got the smoothness that he obviously still has. Got the timing, the precision still there, and his finishing instincts are still there. So, yeah, I got Lomachenko all day against Navarrete, but it's a fight I want to see. I think it'll be entertaining.
Yes, I think it's the most likely because of Shakur's contract issue and Tank just being Tank with the PBC and all that. But you said a but. We've seen this from Navarrete. Going back, I agree with everything you said. I would favor Lomachenko in a fight with Navarrete. But man, when he's so unconventional, I could see him. I don't think it's going to happen, but I could see him just lumping up Lomachenko with some of these uppercuts and some of these crazy shots that Loma doesn't see coming.
Dude, even I was watching the Kambosos fight last night, and I mean, listen, I was like that too. Every time I got touched, left a mark. I just didn't have a skin for it. Lomachenko does not have hard skin.
Yeah, his face was all bruised up.
He got hit with one left hook. I watched the punch, and I said one thing that Kambosos does really well is he hooks off his jab. Mm. He hides that. Boom. And it's a good weapon against the southpaw. And he hit him with one left hook. I don't know what round it was. And right away, he got a mouse. He had red marks on the sides of his body in the very first round. The most punches I think George landed all night was in the first round. You would know better.
It wasn't more than eight. It wasn't.
Yeah.
And he had eight.
He had red blotches on his side.
It might have been eight.
I'm like, this guy is like so tender skinned. Everything that touches him leaves a mark. So yeah, Navarrete. Listen, especially if you're covering up, Navarrete hits hard, man. Boom, heavy. Yeah. He's heavy-handed, even at the bigger weights. Yeah, I agree. I think that you're going to see the markings of war in that fight. Which again, I think it's a good fight. I think it's entertaining. I think Navarrete is very much in the fight.
These are fun. That the moral of the story is like fight. All these options are fun fights, and it's not going to be an easy
except
win.
For Shakur. I don't think that's a fun fight.
That's what we'll get to next. Shakur Stevenson would be the one that Top Rank wants to make. It's the one that Bob Arum is talking about. Shakur Stevenson versus Vasily Lomachenko is a fight we've wanted for a while as fans. Shakur has tweeted out and said it would be the most skilled fight of all time. I don't think it's going to be that much of an exciting fight because you got two guys that throw in the high 30s, low 40s. Shakur defensive first, Lomachenko pick and choosing his spots. Big names, unification bout, still want to watch it. How does that one play out?
That's so for me, the reason I want to see that fight, well, the reason I want to and the reason I don't want to. The reason I want to see that fight, actually, I'll start with the reason I don't. I don't want to see that fight because I think Lomachenko's going to lose. And I think it's going to be boring.
It's definitely going to be boring.
Yeah. I think that the youth and the size of Shakur, I think his judge of distance, his ability to keep length. Because a lot of those angles that Lomachenko cuts, he needs you to stay at that middle distance. And if you're constantly stepping out, and you got that long southpaw jab that you're going to step backward with and fight off the back foot, it creates a lot of gaps and a lot of openings where the guys are going to be really far away from each other most of the night. I don't see, when he does actually close the distance, I think the sheer size of Shakur's yeah. He's not small. He's a big 35-pounder, even though he's moved up recently. I mean, his wingspan, his length, his body, he's physically strong on the inside. I think his ability to tie him up and spin, and also the fact that, you know, he doesn't care if he fights boring. He'll make the fight boring.
Right, he doesn't care at all.
Doesn't care at all. Does not
especially
care
that type
bruise.
Of fight where it's the biggest of his life, and nope. If he wins it means so much for Shakur. He won't care.
No, the reason I like the fight is because I think Shakur needs to get pushed by someone like Lomachenko to reach that next level. I think he needs, because listen, at the end of the day, Lomachenko is a dog. Yes, he has elite skills. Yes, he has a sublime talent, but he is a dog and he wants to win and he will make it rough. He will be rough. He will be physical inside. And I think that's what it's going to come to. He's going to have to kind of throw the matrix away and just be a tough soldier. And I think we need to see fights like that for Shakur in order for him to progress to be what I think he can be, which is the upper crust elite.
Of course, there's politics getting in the way now. Even when both guys have been with Top Rank for years now, it's hard to imagine Shakur Stevenson not with Top Rank. It's hard to imagine Vasily Lomachenko not with Top Rank. I don't know Lomachenko's status at this point. I don't know. He's been with Top Rank his whole career. We know Shakur's status. He's very open about it. He's probably tweeting as we speak right now. He's free agent after this fight with Artem Hartinian on July 6th. So there's now a roadblock for a Shakur versus Lomachenko fight. It's not as easy as a one-fight deal. Like, why would Top Rank do that? They have a little bit of leverage here. They're going to want to offer Shakur a three-fight deal. They're going to say to him, okay, you want to leave? Go ahead and go to Matchroom. There's no titles there. Go to PBC. They're having issues staging fights, let alone there's Tank. That's it. And who knows when they'll give Tank that fight. That's something that Shakur has talked about as a reason why he's hesitant to jump over to PBC. So, there, of course, there's got to be some type of roadblock for that fight. I think it's an awesome one for all the reasons you said. Vasily pushing Shakur, Vasily going for that signature win over one of the young guns, because he's come up short against Teofimo, he's come up short against Haney. Now he's going up against arguably the most talented of them all. That's Shakur, at least defensively. It's got everything. It's got everything. We'll see. I think that's what Top Rank wants. But of course, we have to go through the business side of it. And then there's the one we all want to see. There's the most unlikeliest. Gervonta Davis versus Vasily Lomachenko, I believe, is 1-2 in the lightweight division right now. Heavy-handed Gervonta Davis, really good boxer. Lomachenko, with all his skills, they've been chasing each other since 2017. That's the fight. It's got legs now. That's the fight. That's the clear 1-2 to me in lightweight. It's Gervonta versus Loma. Gervonta says he wants it. Lomachenko says, I ain't turned down anyone in my career. That's the fight. Bring me that fight. It's probably unlikely, but damn, that would still be fun, even if it's 4 or 5 years too late.
I still think the fight Shakur and Davis of the lightweight division. But yes, this is a great fight. I think that it's a fight that's been in the works for a long time. And I think even stylistically, the way they match up, they have the ability to make each other both step up and actually make a good fight. Because you know, listen,
would you say that's the best fight of them in terms of styles make fights? If Shakur and Loma is not going to be that exciting of a fight.
The best fight of those championship level guys is Navarrete and
Zepeda.
Yeah,
I would travel to that.
Yeah, that's like
they put that in like Arizona and when
that's,
that and that little outdoor thing.
That's guns Mexican blood and guts. Like we're both going to the hospital after this fight. Like,
that's like Munguia Canelo, but for like the real hardcores.
Yeah, but they're both going to be right in the mix. Like there's no counterpuncher in that one.
Oh,
like,
I love that. Both. I love that. But I'm talking about like the blockbuster fights.
Yeah, the epic, you know, like class versus class matchup. Yeah, I think that's, I mean, I'm trying to think. So you got Lomachenko Davis, you got Lomachenko Shakur, you got Shakur versus Davis. Yeah, I think entertainment wise, this is it. And because it's Lomachenko is the wild card when it comes to entertainment. He is the entertaining guy. And so is Davis, but Davis just doesn't throw enough punches for me.
Yeah, but he's still so freaking, like, you're waiting for that bomb to detonate.
We talk about him all the time. I love Tank. Yeah, I love me some Tank. So don't take my words as I'm dissing on Tank and his entertainment status.
We're saying, like, if he needs to generate a fun
partner.
Fight.
He needs a willing partner. He needs a guy who's going to come and get, because if you got a guy, if like Shakur and him, I think that fight is going to be a snooze. I think it's going to
be Shakur and Gervonta. It's going to be a snooze.
Yeah.
I agree.
Shakur, Gervonta, snooze.
The only thing you see in that is if Tank can find the chin of
they're throwing 20 punches around until he finds that home for the missile. But with Loma's Loma's a dog, man. He's gonna fight. He's gonna make the fight happen. He's gonna close the distance. He doesn't fight at range. If you watch Loma fight, he's right in front of you. He makes you miss. He cuts angles. Yeah, he's hard to hit. Yeah, he's invisible. But he's not circling and moving around the ring. He's fighting you in front of you. And I think that he can push Davis to be more active than he normally is. I'm just curious to see the power of Davis and how Lomachenko is able to deal with it when he does get touched, when he gets on the elbow, when he gets on the shoulder. Because I don't think he's going to get hit clean early on. And if he does, I don't know. I don't know if anybody can take Davis's power at those weights.
That's the beauty of it.
Lomachenko.
Like, I agree. It's just Lomachenko versus Gervonta Davis. It's like we thought that fight was dead on arrival, and like it gets revived. It's a big event. That's a big time fight. It's a big event because of the politics of it, and also the potential to see Lomachenko iced. We haven't seen that yet. He's like, we haven't seen Lomachenko iced out.
We haven't seen him beat. We haven't seen him like really beat. Like, yeah, Teofimo beat him. It was still a super, super razor thin close fight. He also, talks about the shoulder injury, which I didn't really, really believe until the Nakatani fight when he got it fixed. And I'm like, oh, wow, Jesus, I didn't expect him to knock Nakatani out. And he destroyed him. I was there for that fight as well. And so it's like, if Gervonta was able to really beat him or hurt him or stop him, that would be like crazy.
Yeah, and that's the fight to me. You can debate it all you want. It's fine. I mean, these are all fun fights. That's part of this exercise, was to show you that, 140 might be the division where all these stars are at and higher, but 135 has still got some juice. If you got Lomachenko, who coming off of a nice stoppage win, you got Gervonta Davis.
It's funny how one guy comes back and it's like, well, this weight class is back.
Well, it also kind of shows, like, I'm optimistic, Dan. It also kind of like shows, like, there's like some of these divisions are so thin, like there's like three or four guys, and it's not as deep as some of the other ones, but for lightweight, it's always been the fun one, and there's still names there. And there's, 36-year-old Lomachenko still can make some fun fights, even with a Tank or Shakur or Navarrete. I hope we get them. That's the main thing. I am a little encouraged that a lot of these guys are with Top Rank in one way or another. So we'll get like a Lomachenko Navarrete in a few months. But that's that. Did you catch the ring announcer, Lieutenant Dan Hennessy?
Jesus.
Bro. Tessitore roasted him, ripped him a new one.
Good.
He was really, that guy sucks to begin with. I don't like his whole thing. Like, I'm not trying to make fun of the guy. It's a really hard job, but this is the highest of highs. You can't mess up the who won the fight. But I've seen that guy a bunch in Australian fights. He's just like, I don't like his whole shtick. I just think he looks like a carnival barker. He throws the cards up in the air and does all that stupid stuff. This guy read the wrong winner.
That's absurd. Absurd.
Imagine your fight with Provodnikov. They say, Provodnikov, you win. He's celebrating. You're distraught. And then he didn't just say, like, stop, stop, stop. He just read it again with a higher inflection in his voice. So he announced that Nina Hughes won. And everyone was like, what? How did she win? She got outlanded, like, substantially. Everyone in that arena knew that Trinica Johnson won. So he announces Nina Hughes wins. She's kind of, like, putting her hands up. Johnson is distraught and like down and out, and then it's just weird. He just keeps talking and he's just raising his voice a little bit higher, and he just reads it again like it was like, all right, we'll just edit through that, like as if it wasn't live. And this guy got eviscerated on Twitter. He got eviscerated by Tessitore. Like, I don't think he'll ever come back from that. It was just, I've never seen that. Have you ever seen something like that?
No, he literally ruined a moment.
He ruined
a really, really important moment for a fighter. And the new is the biggest thing. That is the moment. He ruined that. He took that from her, from Johnson.
That was And then Andrew Maloney, I don't know if you caught this, was in a really close
fight.
I thought he lost.
That epic mic drop. So I watched these fights, and I fell asleep for the main event, just for the record. So I watched these live.
I was struggling. That's another story for another day is ESPN. This is not a top-ranked thing. ESPN, they're the ones that pick the time slots. That 10 p.m. three-fight broadcast, that's not good for the sport. UFC gets the 8 to 10 slot, of course, because it's UFC. But two fights. There was no need for that women's fight to be aired on TV. No offense to the two ladies in there. They can be on the card, put it earlier, put it later. Maloney, Lomachenko, co-feature, boom, boom. That would have been great. The fight would have been over.
The
Maloney
fight was actually a good fight, too. That should have been the co-feature. It was a good fight.
If you're starting at 10 and we're over in Australia, just do two fights.
Yeah.
We want everyone to see these fights.
You know, Dan, you're a really rational guy. It's weird that boxing doesn't really operate that way. So
it's not. I've had these conversations with Top Right, Evan Korn and all them, and Moretti. It's like they don't make the times. Like
Dan, in your okay, let's talk about that Maloney fight though. Like in your opinion, is Maloney right? I don't
know.
I
thought he lost.
Yeah. So did the commentators. Yeah, he was coming on. Like he acted like that was like the worst robbery in history.
Nah, his reaction didn't match. That was an accumulation of his brother losing last week. That was an accumulation of them getting some really close decision losses over the years. It was him thinking he won. It was him thinking he was going to get a gift decision, I think, at home. And I thought he lost the fight. Emotions run high. You would know way better than me doing these post-fight interviews, stick a microphone in your face. I mean, he quit. He retired. He dropped the mic. Went back to the locker room. Calmed down a little bit.
Maybe I'll come back.
No, he said it again. He said, F this, it's corrupt. I'm like, dude, there's a lot of other things we could point to for corruption. This is not going to be in the first chapter of the corruption of boxing book. This won't even make the book. Like, dude, don't be throwing around.
I thought he reneged on it and said that he actually would fight again. Like, I saw something somewhere else. But
I saw him back in the locker room and he doubled down. And then I heard like a report saying or a tweet from someone. I think it was Jake Donovan. Who spoke to someone on his team who said that, oh, no, he's just a little emotional. But he doubled down on it back in the locker room. He was kicking chairs over and stuff. Great guy. Both of them are awesome. They've been through the ringer.
I love those guys a lot.
They've been through the ringer the last couple of years. Like tough knockout losses to Inoue, tough decisions traveling all over the world. You know, they've definitely got the most out of their abilities. And they've become like names of the sport fighting on these undercards. But, yeah, it just didn't match. It just didn't really match. Sucks. You don't want to see that. His wife was upset and stuff, and that was weird. But it was like an interesting undercard. Not that it was a great undercard, but we had that mic drop. We have the guy reading the wrong score, and then a Lomachenko stoppage, which made me a rich man. A rich.
Oh, you're rich now? You're rich, rich?
$340.
You are rich, rich?
In other ways, yes. I'm blessed, man.
Right, you're buying dinner next trip then.
I bought you a nice cigar.
You did, a very expensive one.
That was awesome.
Very nice.
I loved doing that for you, bro. Like, the least I can do is buy you a nice cigar.
We had a very nice night. We had a very VIP night.
At the freaking top floor of the Fountain Blue overlooking Vegas. I'm like, I'm going to buy my freaking guy a cigar, and he's going to smoke that shit.
The elite, elite, elite VIP.
Yeah, that place was sick. We'll be back June 15th with PPV.com for Tank and Benavidez double feature. What else happened this week? Well, we have a really fun announcement coming this week with a sports book. That's going to be really fun, so keep it locked to that. Boots presser.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of buzz.
Interesting presser.
A lot of buzz. Cody Crawley, people are learning his story. And this guy's been through everything. Father committed suicide. He's had his issues, Cody Crawley. Promotional issues, the business of boxing. Now he's fighting Boots.
Former sparring partner of Chris Algieri.
You guys kind of have the same look.
I guess maybe to a degree.
Just like fit white guy.
I think he has more of a look like Caleb Plant. He's got that big long beard.
That's my guy. I've been DMing with Caleb.
Yeah, nice.
He wants to come on the show. He's a big fan of ours.
Cool. Yeah, we're a big fan of Caleb Plant.
Hell yeah. I mean, Caleb Plant, not to change gears here, he's doing a lot of podcasts now and stuff. He has such a good Q rating, they would call it, like within boxing fans. If you fight, you know what that is?
What is it? What was the word?
Q rating.
Q rating. I don't really know what that is.
It's you have a good Q rating. I think I have a good Q rating. It's like it's like a formula out there to figure it out. Like, people think of Chris Hatcher, good boxer, world champion, good commentator, decent guy, not great guy, decent guy.
No.
Good Q rating. Dan Canobio, positive, does cool things in the boxing world, good Q rating. Caleb Plant's Q rating among boxing fans is really high because he fought all these guys, win or lose or draw. And it's nice to see him. He's not getting fights right now. He's inactive, but he's doing all these interviews. He's won over the fans with this old school mentality. And I'm talking to him in Vegas. He wants Munguia. He wants Charlo, obviously. He wants Berlanga. Him and Berlanga had a little tiff.
That was a nice little interaction there.
But Berlanga's not good. Berlanga's sitting on Canelo.
He's holding out for the money train that is Canelo Alvarez.
So the boots presser was cool. It's awesome. July 13th in Philly. They've already sold a shit ton of tickets. I've seen more boot stuff and promotion, which we figured was going to be the case with Matchroom and Hearn. So that's going to be awesome.
When you have a hometown like Philadelphia that hasn't had a star get highlighted in a very long time, and then you got a talent like Boots, and then you have a media machine like Matchroom and Eddie, it makes a lot of sense. I don't know if they're going to have the best fights for him, but in terms of building his brand while he's young to getting to that point, I think it turned out to be a very good move.
They got the Zone is not going anywhere. The Zone is willing to work with anyone. They're doing these co pay per views. They're a part of big fights in some regard now. So that's the one thing. Minute be with Matchroom, but now the Zone is kind of flexing their muscle and willing to stage co promotional fights. So that could be good for Boots. Ryan Garcia, wouldn't be a show if you didn't bring him up. He called out Errol Spence Jr. That's the latest. He also welcomed the rematch with Haney. He said he'll only eat oysters and he won't sleep. And then he's been calling out Spence for a week now. You got the bad blood between Derek James and Spence. Spence at what would it be at 154, 160. Ryan Garcia is probably going to be suspended on May 22nd. There's a countdown. The Haneys are now hyping this up. Bill Haney is going live on Instagram 30 times a day to say May 22nd is the day that we find the B sample. Can you go through the B sample? Like, what's a B sample? And Ryan Garcia is probably going to get suspended, right?
Yeah. So historically, the B sample has never turned out to be any different than the A sample. The idea is you're taking the sample and you put it into two separate vials, and it's the same sample. They put them into different places just in case there was some contamination of the first one, which almost never happens. Right. No, literally never happens. So, I mean, this would be an epic turn of events if it turned out to be different, but almost never comes back anything different. So it is literally the same sample that is split into two different vials and then, you know, sent off and held onto just in case there turns out to be an adverse finding. And then you're like, all right, we're going to compare. Let's see if there was some kind of contamination between taking the sample and then actually testing the A sample is what the B sample is all about. So if there was some contamination in terms of how this was, you know, maneuvered from where it was to where it was tested, which we're not maneuvering anywhere. It's a lab, guys. It doesn't normally work out for the offending fighter or athlete that the B sample is going to be different.
He's probably, I mean, if this all goes how we think it's going to go, this is all allegedly, there's going to be a pretty healthy suspension because New York State will suspend him and the other states and the other commissions follow in lockstep. So we saw what happened to Conor Benn, who also just got in some more trouble too. His appeal went away too. That's the latest with Ryan Garcia calling out everyone under the sun. Spence, in a normal world, if he didn't test positive for all these drugs, like a Spence versus Ryan Garcia fight is like kind of fun. Like,
yeah, tons of storylines, but you know, because of the coaching lines, stuff. Yeah.
160, it's a fight I would never even think was dreamed of happening because I still think of Ryan Garcia as a skinny 135 pounder.
Not no more. I saw a picture of him next to Canelo for the Canelo fight. He looked bigger than Canelo. So
that boy is big, and
he's growing. He's growing.
Going through it. All right. So next week or end of the week, we'll have our Usyk Fury extravaganza of a show. We're going to be in the live chat.
We have an in-the-ring breakdown for that, right?
We have some type of stuff from the gym. We have some content. But for this, we're going to be part of the PPV.com live chat. Me and you are taking it over. It's me, you, and Kevin Ioli. What a threesome.
And you said, you when we first opened this up, you said at the top, like, oh, up to date. Like, no, up to the minute, guys.
Yeah, we're typing,
up to the minute we are.
Yeah, that's going to be an awesome card. But it's finally here. Well, I think the momentum will start to build up a little bit for that fight. New episode at the end of the week. PPV.com live chat. Order Fury Usyk on PPV.com. Stream it on your phone, tablet, TV. You know by now, if you've been watching this show, about our relationship with PPV.com and how awesome they are.
They are
it's
awesome.
The only way to so order awesome. Fights. They're great. June 15th.
They're awesome to the fans, too. They're awesome to us, but they're awesome to you guys as well. So
yeah, we're going to give away pay-per-view right now. So on this episode, we're going to do something where retweet it for a chance. We're going to give away a bunch of pay-per-views this week. So keep it locked to Inside Boxing Live. As always, we give away pay-per-views courtesy of PPV.com. All right, that's it for our show this week. Hope you enjoyed it. Vasily Lomachenko is back. He's doing it for us olds out there. Some fun fights in the lightweight division. Boxing season hasn't even begun yet. We're just at the initial climb, Chris.
Bro, we're warming up. Warming up.
Climb, and we're going to be part of it every single week here. Thank you for watching. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs unless you are a mother. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.